Amazing and difficult things were happening around Jerusalem as the followers of Jesus developed their life together. So many people to get to know, thousands. So many challenges as they worked out who they could trust and who they couldn't. So many new questions about the faith that Jesus hadn't really covered, even if they'd understood him the first time. We looked a little at their priorities last week. Teaching, breaking bread, sharing life and prayers. And if we had read the previous chapter, we'd have seen recorded the believers praying for boldness in the face of the fear of the authorities and the opposition that they faced, especially as they talked about their belief in the Jesus who had been crucified on a cross. The Jesus who they believed was the one that had been sent by God. The call to be bold about faith, to overcome their fears, is one of the newly experienced effects of the Spirit of Pentecost. And then here in Acts 5, the story continues with amazing and difficult things about who within their group to trust. The chapter starts with a rather disturbing story about a couple called Ananias and Sapphira. It seems that not everyone in the group who presented themselves as devout were authentic. And there was a price to be paid for that. And then out in the marketplace around the city, people are flocking to them just as they once came to Jesus himself. With real hopes that the believers could help like Jesus had once helped. And the need seems overwhelming. And of course, they attracted the attention of the same ones who opposed Jesus. The high priest took action. Filled with anger and jealousy about the popularity of this group, wasn't it enough to have got rid of their leader? It seems not. And so they arrested Peter and John and the other apostles and they put them in prison. And then we read, during the night, an angel came and opened the doors, and instead of heading home to hide, instead of leaving the city where they're under threat, instead they go back to the temple and tell the people the words of life. So that when the high priest and his crew arrived and saw them, well, what did they do? They called a committee. They got information from the prison to verify the escape. Locked doors, but no bodies. Sounds like another story without a body. They were very puzzled. And so they sent for the apostles. There they were in the temple. They didn't have to look hard for them. Gently, because they didn't want the people in general to kick off. Can't afford riots and demonstrations. So Peter and the apostles stood before the committee and answered questions. We ordered you before not to teach in this name, but the whole city is full of it. Are you really trying to annoy us? And so Peter speaks up. It's always been Peter that spoke first. We must obey God rather than human authority. God raised Jesus, who you killed by hanging him on a tree. God has exalted him as leader and savior so that you might have your sins forgiven. We are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. Well, that did it. As we heard, they were enraged. Well, wouldn't you be? They wanted to kill them. We got rid of the leader, let's get rid of them too. And then this teacher of the law, Gamaliel, spoke up, respected by everyone. So Peter and the apostles, well, they're asked to stand outside for a moment. And weren't Gamaliel's words fascinating? Fellow Israelites, consider carefully what you're going to do. There have been others who have risen up and made a fuss around the city and have been killed, and then it's all gone quiet and faded away. So in this present case, I tell you, keep away from these people and let them alone, because if this plan or their work is of human origin, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to stop them, and might even find yourself fighting God. And they listened. And they brought Peter and the rest back in, and they had them flogged as punishment and ordered them not to speak in the name of Jesus, and then they let them go. But they didn't stop. I was really interested in Gamaliel's little speech. If it's of God, nothing can stand against it. And although that doesn't mean it isn't hard, we shouldn't forget those words. They were flogged. They still had opposition, and many of them would die because of their faith. But the story didn't end, and it grew and grew and spread till Jesus' words about to the ends of the earth were real. Perhaps there's a reminder here that God has the big picture in hand. And we're called to keep on going in the name of Jesus. Which brings me to the main thing that leaped out when I was reading through the story, and that little phrase, we are witnesses. We are witnesses. Just a few weeks ago, the day before Father's Day, I decided to set off early to drive to Warrington to see my parents and my sister for the day. So I got up very early for me, 6:45, I set off. I don't usually see that time of day, I have to say. I reached Worcester and the road was closed because of an accident on the motorway, so I had to go off and do a diversion round. That's always really irritating when you've set off early and then you're held up. But it wasn't too bad. Back onto M5 North towards Birmingham, just after Junction 5, whilst I was singing away to some tune that was playing, suddenly there was a plume of smoke and spray, and a car about 50 metres in front of me did a 360-degree turn and slammed into the outside crash barrier with bits of car flying everywhere. Several of us on the road slammed on our brakes. I pulled over onto the hard shoulder, as did a couple of other guys, and they got out, ran across the carriageway to this car to see what was going on. I got out, breathing deeply, and shouted across, "Has anybody rung the emergency services?" "No, you do that." So I rang the emergency services. And suddenly then, well, panic stations, what do I say? I wasn't really paying attention to exactly where I was on the road, and this woman on the line is asking me questions about where are you, and I'm going, "I don't know," and there's no signs. I just passed Junction 3, Frankly Services, I know I've gone past them, and she's saying, "Is there a person in the car? Are they all right? What's the problem? How many people?" I'm going, "I don't know, that's two carriages across. I haven't been across three carriages to look." You know, eventually one of the guys came back and he was a doctor who was on his way to Stoke to perform an operation, so he was expected in surgery, and had stopped, and he checked her out and was able to give a bit more information. And then shortly after that, police came, closed the M5 again, ambulances arrived, fire brigade arrived, and I just stood on the hard shoulder being told I had to wait in order to give a witness statement later on. And so I stood and watched and felt a bit helpless and rather shaken. And eventually, after quite a while, a very nice but rather childlike looking policeman, I thought, came with his notepad and started to ask me questions about what I had seen. And suddenly I realised, what had I seen? Had I been paying attention? It all happened so fast. And so suddenly I realised my memory and recall of it was a bit sketchy. I really wasn't sure about the distances and who else was around, apart from I knew the two guys had been there. I was pretty sure that there was only the one car involved. The rest of us were just lucky or unlucky bystanders, depending on your point of view. And then, having taken down what I could say to them, they sent me on my way, thanking me for my time. And I carried on north, somewhat shaken and mind whirring with the questions about what I'd seen. What had I seen? Being a witness is telling about what you yourself have seen. We are witnesses, said Peter. They had seen Jesus. They had heard him speak and watched his way of gathering people and building community and sharing meals and stories. They'd seen him overturn the temple tables and disregard the Sabbath laws and touch people who no one would go near. They'd heard his words about dying and rising to life, and then they'd seen him die on a cross and then appear in their midst when they were afraid. And he'd shared meals with them. They were there. And now they called others to believe in what they'd seen, and they challenged those who still desired to silence the voice of challenge and love that threatened their power and position. But it wasn't just what they said. It was what people saw of them. In a sense, they still saw Jesus and believed because Jesus was in the disciples. So as people watched, they also became witnesses to what Jesus was still doing in these people. And they began to talk about what they had seen for themselves. The message that we pass on isn't about the past. We give witness to what's happening today in our lives. And in the lives of others as we see Jesus in them. What have we seen? What are we witnesses to? Because we're also to be witnesses to faith in a living God. What have you seen that tells of God's goodness? What have you seen that speaks of God's love? What have you felt that made you wonder about all that is beyond us, in spite of all our discoveries, all that we have yet to know? What have you noticed that made you ponder the meaning of our existence? So we're invited to be attentive, to be aware, to listen and observe and witness to what God is doing today. To look for peace and faithfulness. And so many other signs of the kingdom that are around us every day of our lives in the places where we go to. So many signs of the kingdom that are there if we open our eyes, the eyes of our hearts and our heads.